From socialservice.sg, I am Jing Yao. What do community work and community development look like in practice? More specifically, what do they look like in social work practice? In this episode, I'll first chat with Pal, who worked as a social worker before moving to community work. Next, my co-host Jermaine speaks with a resident, Lydia, who first started as a community volunteer. A big theme you'll hear from both conversations is that role demarcation and definitions, often framed through the lens of traditional social work practice, are not always clear or helpful. In fact, they could even stigmatize. With Pal and Lydia, we also talk about community development's challenges and their plans for the future. This episode is part of the Community Miniseries, co-produced with AMK FSC Community Services. Now, in a short sentence or two, how would you kind of describe your work and responsibilities to, you know, someone you meet for the first time? How would you describe what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so I think I would liken my work as a community worker who happens to be an explorer in the neighborhood. So my day-to-day work kind of comprises of me discovering the abundant gifts and assets out there in the community by having conversations with strangers and also trying to see what I can do to connect them together with other people in the neighborhood so that we strengthen the relationships and interdependence in the community.
Yeah, because we keep talking about community, which is the heart of the mini-series itself, right? If I were to ask you, how would you understand or what do you understand to be the community or what is the community to you in your kind of day-to-day experience?
I think I would define community as a group of people who share similar interests, passions, even concerns and dislikes. A community, I feel, kind of promotes a sense of belonging and identity in a person. A community also conveys the notion of trust and interdependence. So like people who come together to play like basketball could be a loose structure of what a community is. Whereas a formal community might be like a drama club or CCA where there's no structured time that you go to meet people and bond and build relationships also. Yeah,
I realized the two words you like to use a lot, which I agree with, is interdependence and relationships, right? So I guess in that context, as you being a community worker, when did you first learn or hear about community development and community work, right? Or maybe to help the listener as well, what do you remember from your very first encounter with community work and community development?
So I think I have to go back to like my childhood days. I think community development sort of like existed even before I was born, right?
Yeah.
And I would probably say when I was growing up, there was always, it was always common to see like neighbors gathering at my corridor and the void deck, kind of playing together and enjoying and celebrating the good times and also being there to help each other when times were a bit difficult. So I saw it as a place that was quite inclusive. And community is probably, to me, very place-based. Community happens in the neighborhood. But it's sort of like in the professional sense of the word, I would say that my first encounter with community development came from my work in South Central Community Family Service Center. So I just remember like my first day going down there for an interview, right? Like I didn't see like a typical family service center. The walls, there were no walls. There were no like barriers. Like it was very refreshing to see the people walking freely in and out of the space and where professionals and residents sort of like shared the same area, right? And you couldn't really tell the difference between a social worker versus just a neighbor hanging out and just chit-chatting. So the space was very inclusive and it meant that also the strengths of the members that were there also mattered as much as the needs where they come in to seek help in the family service center. So I feel that environment typically shapes a lot of human behavior. So I saw the SCC was a space where, you know, people could connect and contribute to the well-being of their community. So that was what I felt was like the first encounter for me. Yeah.
Got you. You know, it's clear from, you know, your sharing itself that you have, you know, extensive experience in social work as well as a social worker. So it's kind of thinking of combining both hat to wear, right? As a social worker, as a community worker. You know, given your, I'm curious, given your previous social work training, educational work experience, how would you compare it to community work, right? And, you know, what made you pursue community work in the first place? You mentioned about your childhood, your professional experience as well, but, you know, what really made you pursue community work and how different is it from your background in social work?
I guess, yeah, my childhood played a huge part in just seeing communities alive and kind of, I was telling you a bit about how, you know, neighbors helping each other and stuff like that mattered when I was growing up. But my first job in the social service sector, I worked a lot with youth at risk. So youth, working with youth, right, I understood that the home environment played a huge part in their upbringing and also the schools and the community as well, right? Because like working with the youth individually, you only can make so much of an impact. So I wanted to not only work with the youth, but also the families and the communities that they grew up in. So I saw like the power of communities coming together to resolve issues that related to youth being labeled as delinquents. So the youth themselves also played a part in contributing towards their community, helping out in like helping their neighbors out and stuff like that. So this actually reinforced my belief in wanting to work with community as well. So I understand that interventions proposed by professionals like mentoring, counseling sessions or group work may not be the best fit solutions for youth and also families that I've worked with. So it is best to involve like the families as key stakeholders in the interventions or solutions or co-creating ideas on how to support one another. But I believe in also asking questions that kind of helps them to think about what they can do for themselves so it's more sustainable and also empowers them. So questions like in ABCD, asset-based community development, we learn three important questions called the do no harm questions, where we start off with asking, what can you do by yourself? So thinking about what are your strengths, what you can bring to the table, and what are things that some people can help you to do? So what are your networks that are already existing? Your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, that also can help you to resolve some of the issues. And last, what can people do for you that you need us outsiders to come in to help? So that's where the institution space is more activated. In cases with crisis is involved, right? You see a lot of professionals coming in to help. So that's where the families may not have the capacity or even communities may not be rightfully resourced to help families. So that's where I guess professionals like us can come in to help. Yeah.
You know, one thing that you keep mentioning, which is really important, is taking an asset-based approach, a solution-focused approach as well. And something I've appreciated as someone who's also in the social work space as well is moving away from the terms that we used to use, right? Like clients, beneficiaries, because our worry here, as you said, and you alluded to, is that these terms may stigmatize or define how we work with them, right? Because if you say, oh, you're a beneficiary, then it feels like the person is benefiting from it. But we've been in encounters where we benefit equally, if not more, from the working relationships we have with community members also, right? So what other differences do you see, right? Besides the terms, or how do you see these differences when you interact with your community members, right? When working with them through the lens of community work and community development?
Yeah, I think language definitely plays a part in both ways, right? How I see the clients or beneficiaries and how they see me as well. So I will agree that forms a narrative and identity of a person, how you label them, how you identify them, how you even term them, right? So the word client in a Google search that I did comes from the Latin word calure, that is pronounced is spelled C-L-U-E-R-E. Means that to obey or to hear. So the like sort of gives you the impression that clients supposed to receive services and may not be able to represent their own interests or their voices. So therefore implying that things may be done to or for them, and which makes it okay as well because we use the term clients. However, I think a more empowering term would be a member, partner, or collaborator, sort of like giving a sense of equal power to the relationship between the person supporting and the person receiving that support. With that said, I think I would also like to point out that beneficiaries or partners, right, who receive support are also contributors. So as we see them coming in to receive help or support in that stage, let's also explore some strengths that they have, explore some assets where they can contribute to others as well.
Yeah. And, you know, in moving to the terms that we want to use, as you said, member, partner, collaborator, community members as well, do you foresee or what are some of the challenges you face or foresee when dealing with moving away from the terms, right? Or dealing with these differences in that sense?
I think sort of like, I guess, what is the process of learning, relearning and unlearning? Is the perhaps the shift of the mindset of those helping in the professional of helping others. So to be mindful of the labels that we use and how we can use more empowering, strength-based, appreciative conversations to elicit the possibilities rather than just focusing on deficits.
Yeah. And, you know, today we've asked you a lot, but, you know, this is going to be a hard question, but I think you have no trouble with it. I think if you're trying to blend your identities as a social worker, as a community worker, drawing from the extensive experience you have, right? How do you think other social workers in Singapore can adopt a more community-centric lens in their work? And I want you to draw kind of from your experience, the extensive experience you have. How do you think other social workers can, you know, be more community-centric, more community-minded in their own work?
Just speaking from my own experience as both a social worker, used to be doing social work, more case management, right? To one that does community work. I would say that we should look at what are the informal networks around a person or a family, like who are their friends, family members, neighbors, or informal associations that could come in to support certain interventions that we have set together with the families, rather than quickly referring families to other institutional support, which is very one-directional, very client and professional centric. So that is one probably more sustainable and also probably sometimes may not be an efficient solution, but maybe an effective solution for the long run. Another thing is to have a sort of like a belief that people are not passive recipients of services, but also active contributors and agents for their own lives and also the lives of people around them. And lastly, I think is to understand that communities are best fitted to handle issues like child safety, health and well-being of others, and even environmental issues. So with that lens, right, we can say that, you know, we don't know better because we may not live in this neighborhood, but the residents who live here may know what's best for them. And asking conversation to invite them into the space of co-solutioning and seeing what they can do to contribute to resolving some issues that they might have. Yeah.
Okay, Lydia, so why don't you start by telling us a bit more about, you know, where you live and how you first got in touch with AMKFSC?
Okay, so I live in Awokyo for about 6 to 7 years, then got into contact with the FFC like 6 years ago, but it was only for short terms. Now and then I will go to the FFC. Now we'll say that I'm currently with my social worker for about 3 years. So yeah, it started during the pandemic. So now currently I'm still working closely with her.
So earlier, Pal shared a bit more about like how he defines like the community, right? And you know, we ask everyone the same question. So for you, what do you understand to be like the community, or what is the community to you?
Okay, like the community has like many meaning to it. Community is not just like neighbors, you know, not just within your areas. Then it's like much more of everyone in the region. Then for me is I will include everybody to be the community, like to be in the community inclusive, like to be inclusive. Yeah, so everybody can be in the community.
So it's great to hear that inclusive is one of the terms that you brought up, right? And I think that's something that I myself also resonate with when I think about the community. So I'm quite curious to know more about some of your experiences, right? So maybe could you share a bit more about one of the most memorable community-driven initiative or activity that you've been involved in, you know, during your time with AMKFSC?
Okay, so first I got, the first time was started with volunteering lah. I have very high ego, you know, to rather than get things for free, I would rather, you know, earn it. So from the agency, I was offered to do cookies for Deepavali distribution. I remember that was back in 2021, around that it was Deepavali. So I would rather earn money lah. So my social worker was telling me, you know, if you can bake and start baking. Then so I started there baking. Then from there, I proceed to actually give back to the community. So I went to 414, that was the first community hub. So I met friends there who is doing for the, you know, giving back to the community. Then during that time, there was a lack of manpower. Like, I think everybody was afraid to actually go out, you know, to go and help with their home, you know, putting themselves at peace. And yeah. So by then, I just go here with the distribution now. So at that point of time, there were other volunteers, but it was, you know, out of my area. So it's not convenient, and they also have their stack to actually go and do the distribution for the dishes. So at that point of time, I only had my husband and my brother to just help. So So from there, then I got to, like, I feel that this is what I want to do. Yeah, so it continues till now lah.
Yeah, that's really great to hear, Lydia. I mean, it's very rare that someone does something for the first time and then knows instantly that that's something that they want to do. And I'm really encouraged to hear that from you. So, I mean, quite also interested to hear, right? I mean, you shared a lot about this experience helping with the Deepavali distribution. So what exactly do you enjoy most, right, about being involved in the community? Or more specifically, right, if I were to ask, what do you appreciate about AMKFSC's approach to the community?
I enjoy talking to people. So being involved in the community, like, give me the reason to just talk and talk to everybody. Then talking means I can get more resources or, you know, get infos of what this person can do. Then, you know, probably can link them up. Then, you know, I've got lobangs. It's much more of the word lobang. So, yeah, so it's the best feeling. Then to get involved in voluntary work. So it's something that I think not most of us would want to do, but we never had the opportunity to do it, actually do it. So most of the people that I actually like talk to, then, you know, be interested to actually do volunteer, they actually have never like, you know, have the opportunity to know where to actually go. Yeah. So I think opportunity is important. Then if you say FFC actually gave me the opportunities and eye-opening opportunity to actually evolve from that, which is like something very empowering.
Yeah, I think you've put it quite well, right? Like everyone kind of inside them wants to do something, but not all the time are we given that opportunity. So, I mean, if we look at, like, on the other hand, right, what do you think can be done to, you know, better engage and enable these members of the community, you know, like yourself, you know, to lead more purposeful lives or maybe be involved, you know, in these opportunities that otherwise, you know, maybe they're afraid to start or not sure where to look for?
Okay, I think it's much more of like, let the residents take the lead or, you know, listen to these voices who are living in the area, the region or the community, like you put it. And also to give support. So FFC should like give support to run the initiative and so on. The jumpstart would definitely like help to motivate people. Then it's also good that neighbors like giving back to the community. It's not something felt shouldn't be felt as a burden, but I feel that after a while they will feel the achievement, then they will organically like feel that they can come together and just do something. So be a bit more passionate about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Lydia Pal, for your sharing today, for reflecting, for thinking through experience and sharing. In the next episode, our listeners can look forward to how, you know, we consider the role of participatory research and the extent to which it fits with community work and community development.
Meet in the meantime, don't forget to visit the link in the show notes to learn more about AMKFSC's community-driven initiatives. And you can also play a part in building thriving communities.
And thank you, Pal and Lydia. Thank you so much.